Okay, we'd like to turn to Exodus 20, verse 17. We began last week looking at the 10th commandment. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Again, this commandment prohibits a very particular inward desire of the heart. Thou shalt not covet. And mentioned in particular are the dwellings, the properties, the possessions, the advantages belonging to others. And then, of course, when he makes the statement, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Many times when we think of covetousness, we just think of the material, but really it's a much broader scope than just the material. We covet someone else's lifestyle, their emotional state, or whatever. And we began last week to see what defines covetousness. And it is difficult, not from the standpoint of the Word of God, for people to understand covetousness because people have varying definitions of greed. They have varying definitions of wealth. But the Bible's really pretty plain on what covetousness really is. We saw last week in Proverbs 15:27, I believe sums up covetousness, he that is greedy of gain. That would be covetousness. Again, people have a different definition of gain. We read also in Proverbs 23, verse 4, labor not to be rich. That's a rebuke against covetousness. He that hasteth to be rich. We read in Proverbs 28, 22. 1 Timothy 6, 9, they that will be rich. That is, that's their determination. And then in, we also read the love of money there in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10. All of those phrases describe the behavior of the covetous individual. But perhaps in order to best understand covetousness, Colossians 3 and verse 5, and I believe this is where we left off last week, covetousness is identified as idolatry. And I think perhaps we have a little bit better understanding of what constitutes idolatry than we do what constitutes covetousness. But covetousness is idolatry. So we need to put those two things together. In fact, in Ephesians 5 and verse 5, the covetous individual is called an idolater. So the sin of covetousness, there's at least two sins involved, and there's much more than that, but there's the sin of covetousness, and there's the sin of idolatry. So covetousness is idolatry. The covetous man is an idolater. So, what is idolatry? Well, we covered that in the early commandments, but it's basically loving and esteeming anything or anybody as much or more than God. That's a very simple definition. Anything we put ahead of God is idolatry, is an act of idolatry. Idolatry is delighting and rejoicing in anything or anybody as much or more than God. Now, don't misunderstand me. There's nothing wrong that we can esteem certain things, but when you put it on the same level as God or above God, you've now crossed the line. Now you're an idolater or covetous. We can delight and rejoice in a lot of things, but when that delighting and rejoicing is on the same level as God or above God, but once again, we've crossed a line. And now it's idolatry. And covetousness is idolatry. Idolatry is having as much or more zeal for anything or anybody than God. Certainly, there's nothing wrong with having zeal. The Bible teaches us we're to have zeal. We're to have some passions in our life, and we all do. But once again, if that zeal or passion for anything or anybody is equal with God or becomes more than God, once again, we've crossed a line, and now there's a problem. There's idolatry, and covetousness is idolatry. So, since covetousness is idolatry, these things that we just mentioned, loving and esteeming anything or anybody more than God, delighting or rejoicing in anything more than God, having as much zeal or passion for something more than God, all of that would constitute as covetousness. So the fact that we are specifically told that covetousness is idolatry, and that the covetous person is an idolater, that helps us to identify what constitutes covetousness. Now, it is not wrong to set goals. I believe everybody should set goals. It's not wrong to set goals. Nor is it wrong to have a desire for something and work to that end. Perhaps you have a desire for, it can be anything, we'll say a new car. Is the desire for a new car covetousness? Not necessarily. I don't believe there's anything wrong necessarily with having a desire for something, and then you work, this is a new concept for many today, you work to that end. But there's a line. When that goal or desire becomes detrimental to serving the Lord, you've crossed the line. You've now crossed the line. You've now entered into idolatry, which again is covetousness. Or when a goal or a desire becomes more important, more prominent, more preeminent, more dominant, and more central in our lives than God, we've crossed the line. We want something. We begin to work to that end. Nothing necessarily wrong with that. But we begin to put our work so we can meet that goal ahead of the Lord. Now you've crossed the line. Now it's idolatry. Covetousness is idolatry. The Bible is, God's constantly drawing lines. And we're not to cross those lines. Again, it's not wrong to have legitimate goals and desires. If someone's, whatever their career might be, Their goal is, I want to be better at this than I am right now. That's a good goal. That's a good goal. Nothing wrong with that. Sure beats being lazy and unproductive. That's another sin. So there's nothing wrong with setting goals. Perhaps someone is a salesman, and it's their goal to be the best salesman they can be. Is that wrong? I don't think so. It would depend, of course, on why do they want to be the best salesman? For notoriety? Well, now you've got a problem. Now your motive is wrong. But just the goal, I want to be the best salesman I can be, there's nothing wrong with that. Or the best, whatever it is we do. But when that goal gets in the way, when it becomes a conflict between us and God, now we've entered into the realm of covetousness. We've entered into the realm of idolatry. Notice in Proverbs 3, and I believe, again, we are to set goals. Some goals are foolish, perhaps. Each person needs to examine their goals, and some goals can be unscriptural, and of course that's another problem. But here's what we need to keep in mind when we set goals or make plans or whatever. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Set goals, but trust in God. Trust the Lord. Lean not unto thine own understanding. That will get us in trouble in so many realms in our life, leaning unto our own understanding. What's the cure for leaning unto our own understanding? Trust in the Lord. Just trust Him. Verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. That is, keep Him in the forefront. That's what keeps us from falling into idolatry. That's what keeps us from falling into covetousness. And He shall direct thy paths. But when that line is crossed, then and it's easy to cross the line because of the nature of our flesh, it's very easy to cross the line without even knowing it. And it becomes obvious as time goes on that one has crossed the line. But more than likely, they're not going to. They've now crossed the line. They're so far past the line that it's become their life. It's become their norm. And unless the Lord directly intervenes, it's not going to change. So we have to be careful that we don't cross the line. With regards to goals and desires, there's several things that we must keep in mind, and it will help us not to become covetous. First of all, we must have proper values. We need to examine our values. That is, and by that I mean what is important. What is important to us? In Matthew 6, verse 19, Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. What's he saying? He's saying, have proper values. Maintain proper values. And proper values are not in treasures upon earth. Now, it's very easy to see what happens. If we have improper values, our values, what is important to us, what is important to us is that we have a certain house, a certain car, a certain lifestyle. That's an improper value. And an improper value will cause you to make improper decisions all the way down the road. And so nothing, our only true value should be God. spiritual things. And everything else is to center around that. It doesn't mean that we never have time for material. It's not what it means. We're to enjoy the earth, the material that God has given us. But what it does mean is the material is subservient to the spiritual and not vice versa. When it becomes vice versa, you've now entered into idolatry or covetousness. So it has to be proper values. There has to be proper loyalties. In verse 24, no man can serve two masters. That is, you have to have proper loyalties. And what is it that keeps our loyalties straight? Proper values. If your values are out of line, I guarantee you your loyalties are going to be out of line as well. There are people who have more loyalty to family or to job than they do the Lord's house. That's an improper loyalty. But you can break it down even further. Why do they have that improper loyalty? It's because they have an improper value. They put family or job or whatever ahead of the Lord. So no man can serve two masters. It doesn't say that this individual is going to have difficulty. It's impossible. You cannot serve two masters. For either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And mammon doesn't just refer to money. It refers to material. He's making a comparison here between spiritual and material. Our loyalties must be right. That is, our loyalties are to be to the spiritual. And it will be, again, these things just work together. Our loyalties will be to the spiritual if that's where our values are. But if our values are strictly upon this goal that I have set, nothing is going to get in the way. And we've heard people make the statement, nothing is going to stop me from my goal. Nothing's going to get in the way. Well, that's a pretty sad statement, because that also means God isn't going to get in the way. That you just become so tunnel visioned that God is tuned out. Again, it can be more than material things. It can be applause. It can be the praise of man, gratification from man. You do this to please whatever. Whatever it is that feeds us. So we have to have proper values. We have to have proper motives or proper loyalties. Also, there has to be proper concerns. And again, these things go together. If we have proper values, where's our concern going to be? Where's our chief concern going to be? It's going to be in what we value. It's going to be where our loyalty is placed. They all work together, but it all starts with proper values. If people do not have proper values, that is, the spiritual ahead of the physical, they will not serve God. It's not happening. They're not going to be faithful in the service of the Lord. You have to have your values right, because that's what keeps your loyalties right. That's what keeps your concerns right. And he addresses concerns there in verses 25 through 31. He says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Just condense it all. He's saying, once again, realize what's important. Realize what's important. This is to be your concern. This is to be your chief concern. It doesn't mean that we don't have any other concerns. Of course we have job concerns. Of course we have family concerns and many other concerns. There'd be something wrong with us if we didn't have those concerns. But those concerns are not to override the spiritual. And when it does, once again, we've crossed a line We've crossed a line, and we need to be careful in crossing lines because we may never come back. We may never come back. People say, oh, it's just for this 1 week, or it's just for this short amount of time. 5 years from now, that's where they still are. Except now they're even further away. That is a deception of the devil. I mean, they may actually think that, you know, it is just for this short time, it is just this one time. I'm not going to question that. Maybe, perhaps they really do believe that. But it's one of the chief ploys of the devil. Just this one time. And one time has a tendency to turn into two times, and two times to three, and pretty soon it's a lifestyle. Have to have our priorities. Have to have proper priorities. Verse 32, for after all these things, the things that he's just mentioned, you know, the things of life, do the Gentiles seek. This is what lost man does. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. There has to be proper pursuits, proper priorities. And again, it all goes back to proper values. What's most important to us. So there's nothing wrong. Just because a person sets a goal, I desire a house in such and such a neighborhood. That by itself does not necessarily constitute covetousness. But there's lines. And when you cross the line, now you've entered into covetousness or idolatry. When that desire overcomes spiritual desires, then of course you've crossed the line. So we'll continue next week at looking at the dangers of covetousness. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your grace and mercy that you bestow upon us so abundantly every single day. And Lord, we can't thank you enough. And we are all proof today, Lord, that you are gracious and merciful, and we're proof of your goodness and love. And we thank you for that. We just thank you, Lord, for each one that's here and the desire that you've put in the hearts to be in your house. And we pray, Lord, that you'd help us to be in the right frame of mind, and, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts and draw us closer to thee. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.